Well, I just want to say a quick word of thanks to our global impact team that has put this whole conference together. They did a great job of coordinating different speakers, not only for our worship services, for the special events yesterday, but in a lot of our Sunday schools and other things. So really appreciate it. And then also to all of you that helped and participated and attended to make this a very enjoyable and I think challenging time together. Our theme has been that all may know. And I think as I was kind of pondering and praying about that, I came to the realization that that really is a great description of sort of the theme for the Apostle Paul's life. As we've been going through the book of Acts in our series, our regular sermon series, it just occurred to me that really was what he was all about, that the world may know. For our time in the Word this morning, I want to shift away from the book of Acts, though, for just this week and examine something that Paul wrote at the end of his letter to the Romans, that book which so fully and richly describes the gospel message and God's desire for us to carry that to the world. In Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27, Paul writes a benediction, the conclusion of that letter. I want to read that for us as we begin our time in the Word this morning. It says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Some of you who know me know that I am a pretty big fan of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. And those of you who share that passion for Cardinals baseball know that a couple of years ago they managed to win the World Series in what was perhaps one of the most exciting World Series in history. They were down by two games. They had to win Game 6 and Game 7. And if you remember, in Game 6, they were down by two runs with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. They managed to get runners to first and second. One of their players, David Freese, was up to bat. He ended up with two strikes on him. And with two strikes, two out, the bottom of the ninth, he hit a triple down the right field line, scored two runs. They tied the game. It goes into extra innings. They get down by two runs again. The Rangers hit a home run, two-run homer in the top of the 10th. Bottom of the 10th, they tie it up again. And then finally, in the bottom of the 11th, they hit a walk-off home run and win the game. They go on to win Game 7 in the World Series. I was really excited when that Game 6 ended. I mean, we were at our house. Our whole family was watching. We were just thrilled, jumping up and down. And then I went to social media, got onto Facebook, and my brother-in-law, Juliana's brother, I found out was at the game. And he, with those two strikes on that last batter, had gotten his phone out and was recording, you know, the end of what he thought was maybe going to be the end of the World Series. I have the video, and we're going to watch that just real quick here. So it's about 50 seconds longer. Strike two. I warned him that I was going to use that this morning. When I saw the video, my first thought was, why did he post that where everybody could see it? I mean, it was a little bit embarrassing, to say the least. Not that I had any less reaction in the quiet of my own home. But I was thinking, why would you post that? And then it occurred to me that it was really one of those situations where it was just the joy, the glory of the moment sort of compelled him to, he wanted to share that with those who weren't there with him. We can probably all identify with that, where we've had an exciting moment, something so thrilling that we want others to be a part of it that maybe didn't have the opportunity to be there. That's one of the impulses that social media taps into and why so many people post things. They desire to share these joyful or glorious moments with others. In our passage this morning, Paul is writing the closing. It's the benediction to his letter. And in this benediction, which you might think, well, he's just going to wrap things up. He really shares some key insights into this call that God has placed upon his life and that he is asking the Roman Christians to participate in with him. Remember, he is telling them just before this that his plan is to go on to Spain, but he's going to stop off in Rome and he would like them to help him on his way to Spain. It's a mission that we've all been called to. And so today I want to examine some of these insights into the mystery of God's plan of salvation for all mankind, our role in that, the mission that God has given us, and then finally the motive that we have for carrying that out. Why are we called to go? The glory of God compels us to proclaim Christ to all nations. Well, let's begin, first of all, by examining what is referred to in this passage as this mystery. The mystery that Paul refers to in verse 25, what is that mystery? Let me read again. It says, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and by the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God." When we hear that word mystery, if you're like me, I immediately begin to think of something that I'm supposed to figure out. I mean, if you're reading a mystery novel, the idea is from the clues and other things, you're supposed to try to figure out, you know, who did it or whatever. And so if we take that and try to apply it to the scriptural meaning of mystery, I think we're going to miss a little bit of what is really intended. That when the scriptures talk about this as a mystery, and some of your translations may actually translate it as a secret, that it really is more, it's not something that is unknown, that it's up to us to try to figure out, like you might try to figure out a riddle. But rather, it's something unknown that then God reveals to us. That a mystery is something, the mystery that Paul's talking about here is something that is unknown, but then that God reveals to us. In the Old Testament, one example of a mystery that is revealed is in Daniel. When King Nebuchadnezzar has his dreams and none of the counselors and advisors could discern the meaning of those dreams. That meaning is referred to as a mystery in the Greek translation of that book. And Daniel discerns the meaning, but it's not through clues or by figuring it out on his own. But rather, he says that God reveals that to him. And so there's this mystery of the meaning of these dreams that is revealed to Daniel. In the New Testament, over and over again, the gospel and God's plan of salvation is referred to by Paul and others as a mystery. Something that has been now revealed in Jesus Christ. And I think there's two things that you can specifically point to that are these mysteries that have been revealed by God through Christ. The first of those is that salvation is by Christ and in him alone. That salvation is not something which is accessible through works by our own effort, but rather it is by faith in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is praying for the Colossians. And one of the things he prays is that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. That Christ himself is the answer that they've been looking for. That righteousness is not by the law, but rather is by faith in Jesus Christ. That is our message. That is the message of salvation, that the gospel message is that Jesus Christ died so that we could have our sins forgiven. He took the punishment that was meant for us so that we could have eternal life. Now, that message which seems now to us as followers of Christ so obvious, is a mystery to others that must be revealed. As Romans 10 talks about, how will they know unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them unless they are sent? Peter talked about that last week in his message. And so the proclamation of Jesus Christ is the only way that they will know. We must go to the nations that all might know. That's the first aspect, this mystery that salvation is by faith in Christ. The second is that salvation is in fact intended for all mankind. It's that all may know. That's the theme of our conference. That this message is for everyone. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 it says, this mystery, there's our word again, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. That Christ came is, the Jews knew that there was a Messiah coming. They knew that their Savior was coming. What they didn't know, what they didn't understand, was that salvation would not only be for the Jew, but it would be for all mankind, for the Gentiles, for those all around the Roman Empire, all around the world. Now again, that seems pretty obvious to us as followers of Christ today. We say that Christ is the answer for the world, and we understand that, but that's not so obvious to the person who doesn't have Christ. It certainly wasn't obvious in Paul's day. That at that time, you had all of these different religions and different belief systems, and people would try to get their various gods or their beliefs, they would try to get their gods to save them, and so they would try to earn their favor, and there were all these different systems for doing that, sacrifices and so forth. And the idea that the Jewish Messiah is the answer for all of those people was a mystery that Christ revealed. And again, that's not just then, but it's true now. That outside of the body of Christ, there are millions who believe that whatever is true for one group of people is true for them. That it's all relative. And if you believe it, then that's great. If it works for you, that's great. And so we're right back to where we were 2,000 years ago, with all of these different systems of belief and people putting their faith in all kinds of other things, when God has revealed that salvation is in Christ and His Son. Missions is about making that mystery known to the world so that they can find the answer that they've been searching for. That freedom from sin, that eternal life that only Jesus Christ can provide. That brings us then to our second point. We've talked about this mystery. We need to then talk about the mission. What is the mission that we have as followers of Jesus Christ? And let me just say some things that it's not. Our mission is not to live moral, upstanding lives that impress the people around us. Okay, our mission is not to attend church regularly and have a good job and work really hard. Our mission isn't to build buildings. Our mission is not to develop great programs. Our mission is about proclaiming Christ to people and sharing Christ with people. Now, some of those other things that I mentioned, they may be pieces that aid in that mission. They may be things that help us as we proclaim Christ in our testimony and in our work. But the proclamation of Christ to the nations so that they might believe and obey Him, that is the mission. That's what Paul is saying here. His mission is about the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God. There's that command of the eternal God. So that all nations might believe and obey Him. That is a key phrase there. That part of our mission is the proclamation of Christ to all nations. in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, John Piper, the author, shares an illustration that I think is helpful as we think about the reason for missions abroad. He talks about two ocean liners. Imagine two ocean liners have collided and they're both sinking. And you arrive on the scene in a rescue boat. Now, on our human level, it would make the most sense if we arrive at whichever one sinking ship we arrive at first, that we would just begin to pull in as many survivors as we possibly could into the boat that we have. And that is exactly what you should do, right? What we probably wouldn't think to do is to look over at the other sinking ship and say, you know what, I'm going to leave this group of people that I'm saving here to row our boat over to this other ship to begin saving those people over there. Why wouldn't we think of that? Well, for one, the time it would take to get over there, more people in both ships are going to go down, right? And the energy that it would take to get over there is going to sap some of our resources that we could have used just if we'd have stayed put right where we are. Now, if you apply that same line of thinking to our mission that God has given us, then it would seem from a human perspective to make sense to just stay where we are, where our resources are most effective, where we can make the most of the time that we have and our energy and just save as many of those here rather than trying to go there to save the world or to proclaim Christ. That brings us, I think, then to our motive. We've talked about the mystery, and we've talked about the mission. And the mission includes this idea of going so that all nations might know, which brings us then to our motive for why we engage in this mission that God has given us. And I want to begin first, as we talk about the motive, by sharing with you some what I think are good, they're good motives, but perhaps insufficient motives. And here's what I mean by that. For example, one of those good motives for missions is that love that we have for people. And that is a great motive. God tells us that we are to love others as Christ has loved us, that others will know that we are Christians by our love. And so, you know, there's this whole concept that they'll recognize us as his disciples by our love for others. And it's a great motive, but it maybe is an insufficient motive for going to the nations. And again, here's why. Think back to the ocean liner illustration. If my reason is because I love people, there are thousands of people who don't know Christ right here. Right where we are. So if that's entirely my motive, then why would we go and send people to the world? So love for people is a great motive, but perhaps insufficient. A second good motive, but maybe is insufficient, is that we want to share the joy that we have in Christ. Going back to the video that we showed at the beginning, that was the sort of the impulse. I want to share this joy that I'm having with other people. And that can be true of our life in Christ, that the joy that we have in knowing Christ and the way that he's transforming our lives is a great reason out of that overflow to do evangelism and to share Christ with those around us. But that's exactly the reason why it's perhaps an insufficient motive for missions. Because if that's the whole reason, then we can do that again right here with those around us. There's plenty of people who don't know Christ, who haven't shared in that same experience, that we can share the gospel with. So both of these are great reasons for evangelism. They aid in our mission, but perhaps are insufficient. Which brings me then to, I think, what the real motive has to be for missions. And that is the spread and the proclamation of the glory of God. That the glory of God is the driving force for our mission to the world. Our mission as a church, so Sun Springs Bible Church, exists to glorify God by loving him and making disciples. Now, again, we can glorify God by making disciples here, but the command of God, the mandate of God, is that his glory would spread to the whole earth, to the nations. In this passage, again, that we're looking at here at the end of the book of Romans, Paul has just talked about about his proclamation of Christ by the command of the eternal God so that all nations might believe and obey him. And then he ends with this thought that to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that, again, we can say, well, that's just a phrase that he uses. He uses that in a lot of other places. But he uses it here on the tail end of this thought of the proclamation, the revelation of this mystery to the world and to the nations, and that through Christ, God is glorified. To add further weight, that this has a primary part in Paul's motive for the theme of his life that all may know. Go back to the beginning of Romans, Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, Paul says this. He says, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the nations to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who belong to Jesus. So did you catch that? That Paul has this call, that he has been given grace and an apostleship. Apostleship meaning that he is a messenger for God. And his reason for that, of proclaiming and calling people from among all nations to the obedience that comes from faith, is for his name's sake. For the sake of the name of God. That God's name would be proclaimed to all nations, that his glory would be known among the nations. And again, now that it's been revealed, we can look back and see in Scripture, as God has revealed it to us, that the Scriptures are filled with this idea that the glory of God would go to the nations, that the nations might come to him and worship him. And the book of Psalms, over and over again, there's this idea of that the nations might praise him, the nations would worship him. And in Revelation, we see that the makeup of heaven will include every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Our mission is more of a mandate by God to proclaim Christ to the nations for the glory of his name. The internet has given us a lot of interesting phrases, additions to the English language. And one of those that's just recent, within the last 10 years or so, through the advent of YouTube and the sharing of videos online, is this concept of something going viral, right? We say, well, it's going viral, which simply means that, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of people have seen it and viewed it around the world. The video that I showed you at the beginning, as funny as I thought that was, it didn't go viral. I think some family members, some close friends, you know, watched it, laughed at my brother-in-law, and had a good time with it. But it pretty much was just this small pocket of people that saw that. God's message of salvation in his Son, what the work that Christ has done for us and for all mankind, must go viral. It cannot simply remain in a small pocket of people. That was never God's intent. His intent was that the glory of his Son and what Christ has done and the message of salvation, that would spread to every people, to every tribe, to every tongue, to every nation, that all the world, that all may know Christ. Let's pray.